on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border Turkle, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny. Do not bob at me.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 87 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, January 3rd, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about Florida, Fails, and Felska. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
Happy New Year. It's 2016.
Why does our first episode of 2016 have to be number 87? I hate that number. I really hate that number.
Would you rather be 86th?
Yes.
Yes. Get the hell out of here, Kenny.
Did you hate another number? Any other number more than 87?
91.
91.
Because that's the year that the North Stars lost to Pittsburgh.
Are
you seeing a general theme here with a team I don't like?
You got a problem with the Penguins, I do believe.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's a Catholic schooling. Problem with Penguins?
Oh,
boy.
Boy. Anyway, either you guys do anything good or fun for New Year's?
I was working, live music, working, bar, downtown. It was fun. It was quite a blast with my Irish boys.
I was doing the usual Jive stuff. You guys probably know what that is.
Being late for everything? Oh, sleeping.
Sleeping and being late. That's Jive's MO.
Well, I guess it's a good excuse. You got to be good at something, right?
Right, why not?
So did you sleep through the midnight countdown?
Yeah.
None of your kids jumped on you to wake you up and...
Oh, no.
Banging pots and pans. I remember doing that as a kid.
They're fast asleep.
Really?
Heck yeah.
Well, apparently your kids must take after you and not your wife.
Either your kids aren't experiencing life. They're being...
Deprived.
Deprived, yes.
No, we did a mini countdown with them earlier.
Oh, you did the Great Britain countdown?
No.
Like at 6 o'clock?
No, we pulled something up on YouTube. Didn't it play for them at 8:30.
I heard Netflix had something similar.
Well, of course your New Year's would be like a half an hour late anyway.
That's funny. So, yeah, it's only been, what, like 3 days or something like that?
Yeah.
I think we're back off of our holiday schedule, back onto normal.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday fun day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll have monster trucks in here.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
is that what we're gonna talk about in the off season?
Ooh.
Monster trucks?
Yeah.
Three in the cab.
I got to imagine, you know, with that new U.S. Bank Stadium coming up there, we're going to have some good monster truck shows coming in there, I'm sure.
Well, they got to go somewhere without the dome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where have they been? Had any
monster
trucks
here? Have they
here?
Been here? I don't know.
I don't think Target Center has.
Maybe TCF at... Yeah, during the summer or whatever.
Yeah, I can't imagine them letting them on grass.
Oh, yeah.
Letting those trucks roll over.
Huh. Hey, trivia question.
Throw down a bunch of plywood, you're good.
Hey, so if anybody knows if there's been monster truck rallies in the Twin Cities area, please let us know, because we're obviously curious.
Very important questions we got going on here.
Can we talk hockey now?
Let's do that.
So, in a short time we were away, the Wild ended up playing 3 games, getting 3 points. Surprising win in St. Louis, at least from all of our accounts.
We all said that St. Louis was going to win.
Yeah.
No Parisi equals no win.
They were also minus Tarasenko.
They were. So. And that definitely was in our favor, that's for sure.
Definitely.
But I think this is one time where I'm glad that all three of us are wrong.
We needed those 2 points.
Especially against a divisional team.
Exactly.
So then we had our first shootout against Tampa Bay
last night,
which in typical Wild fashion was another loss in overtime.
Right. We cannot win in overtime this year, it doesn't seem like.
No. Well, Coyle at the end, though, I mean, it's about as close as you can get, you know, banking it off the post, but
he took a page out of Pominville's book, you know,
right?
Or Brodziak's, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, he at least hit something.
true that.
And then tonight, gave up two goals to a 43-year-old Jaromir Jagr.
Two goals to gray balls.
Two G's to two GBs.
GBGBBBB.
For the JJ.
Yeah,
43 years old, and he's
43.
Still banking up multiple points per game.
And still an all-star.
And still banging multiple girls.
that are a third of his age now.
Right.
The only difference between the girls he's banging now and the girls he was banging then is now they would have been about two.
They probably weren't even born, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jagr.
It's like that line from Dazed and Confused.
It is. It totally is.
So I like high about them high school girls. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yeah.
Jagr's got that one down.
I think so. And you know what? He didn't even have to rape him.
Okay, well, I don't know where we're going to go with that one.
Wow.
Well, I was thinking like a Patrick Kane thing.
Oh, I figure it is much.
Or allegedly.
He's not a rapist. He's just an alleged rapist.
Hey. Hockey players' lives matter.
Oh, man.
Well, if you want to go downhill, here we go.
Well, I think we're rolling pretty good. We got snow. We can finally go sledding. So, I mean, we've got the good downhill thing happening right now. So, in those games, Coyle was looking pretty good.
Yeah.
He got a goal, two assists.
He's looking, even tonight in the loss, he was looking very strong.
You know, put in for the shootout, as we had briefly mentioned.
Right. Yep.
Definitely liking Coyle's play as of late. I mean, he's been a great contributor to the team. Obviously, he's, you know, putting points on the board, but
he's also playing physical, which is something he's got the body to play physical, but
we don't always see that.
And he's been doing that. He's throwing his weight around a little bit, and it's nice to see that. Actually.
I'm hoping like this is a continuing trend for him, because I mean, you know, we've seen him actually play pretty solid in, you know, in spurts in the years past, and you know, it come and go, and now hopefully he stays on this peak or this rise like this, but continues like with the physical play as well. Because I mean, that's something we haven't seen too much of.
No,
except maybe a little bit in the playoffs, but all around, like just seeing him actually start throwing his weight around, pushing, you know, checking guys and physically moving people is what we need to see from our bigger guys.
Well,
like that.
He even had a play tonight where, you know, he basically created a chance just by forcing his way, you know, into the middle of the ice, and ended up drawing a penalty on that. Not drawing a penalty, but causing a penalty. And, you know, we need to see more of that from Coyle. We need to see more of that from all the Wild players, but Coyle in particular, you know.
So, okay, right now, you know, Wild got 3 points in three games. You know, averaging 1 point a game, can they still make playoffs? I mean, they're currently sitting at 44 points. There's 47 games remaining. You know, 91 points doesn't seem too bad, but look at our division right now. Is averaging 1 point a game finishing off the season, is that going to do it?
It's going to be tough. I mean, all you have to do is look at last year and see where things, you know, ended up sitting at. And we're going to have a tough time if we can't start making some of those ones, twos, you know.
Well, right. And I mean, even with that, you know, division of death.
Right. I mean, look at the Avalanche last year. 90 points, not in the playoffs.
And how many teams... And I'm betting if you look at the overall league record, they weren't too bad off.
No, they weren't. You know, the Stars, 92 points, not in the playoffs. This is the division of death, and you need to do more than 91 points. That's really what it comes down to.
Essentially, you're almost looking at what, triple digits in order to make playoffs in our division.
Yeah, I mean, the Wild had 100 last year, and the Jets had 99, and they eked in. So you got to look for 100. And so the Wild have got to get some more wins out of this. You know, they had a great December. They need to start carrying it through with January. I know they've been on the road, so you need to check yourself a little bit.
Yeah. But you also have to, you know, make sure that, just like we did in St. Louis, that against, you know, divisional opponents, that you're, you know, going down there and taking points from them.
Right.
Right.
True. And that's, I mean, if they can keep that up, that's not going to help their case
right.
that much more.
Yep.
So the other thing that we saw with some very sloppy play in Florida was a lot of line juggling from Yo. Did you guys see anything that, any lines that really impressed you, or that you were, you know, just going, oh, this is not going to work?
I did like it when, I think Hollow was playing with, Niederreiter and,
Zucker.
Was it Zucker on the other one?
There was a Hollow Zucker combo with
Was
it Nino on that one?
I think so. I personally like the Koivu Parisi Granlund line. I mean it's close to what we had in the power plays, but they weren't encumbered by Pominville playing the point, so that was a nice little change. I think I obviously it didn't really lead to anything, but they had some offensive chances, and that kind of made me go, The only problem is you've got a center that you're losing then, and the Wild do not have centers to spare, really.
Right. Well, I mean, if at that point where you're playing kind of from behind, you're probably only going to be juggling two or three lines.
Right.
So putting two centers on one line might not be the worst idea.
Right, and you know, Yo is also juggling, you know, yesterday during the overtime period where they had Stoll come out as a center in the 3-on-3.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's put out there because he's on the right side of right hand to win the face-off.
And he lost the face-off.
Lost the face-off, and they ended up being stuck on the ice for a good minute, it felt like, with him just being ineffective,
right,
because he doesn't know how to play open. He can, you know, play board battles, but he doesn't know how to play open ice hockey.
Right.
He's not getting paid to do that, you know.
I think that was a big mistake.
It was, and, you know, it's different if he wins that faceoff.
Right.
You know, Yo looks great, but at the same point, you know, that's showing, like, zero faith for Granlund. Or really any other center.
Granlund or Koivu.
You know, because why start Stoll out there? It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, it almost goes back to the Kanapka days where, you know, you'd be on a PK, you'd put Kanapka out there to win the faceoff, and then get him off the ice as soon as you could.
Right. And we won how many Stanley Cups with that tactic?
Hold on.
Zero.
There was that. Nope.
Nope.
And that one, nope.
Nope. None.
Yeah.
I don't know. The tactic seemed odd. You know, Stoll should be getting, like, 0 3-on-3 minutes.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that, but, you know, in Yo's defense, really, I mean, we haven't had a lot of success in the 3-on-3 scenarios.
True.
But
if Stoll's your solution, I mean,
not saying that he's the solution, but I mean, really, maybe he's grasping at straws, trying whatever he can, you know.
It is closer to the import export business being down in Florida, so maybe he got some good stuff, and Yo was hoping for a little burst of energy,
or maybe that was his sign to his team to start winning some faceoffs, because then tonight against the Panthers, they won something like 39 of the 52 faceoffs. I mean, they were monster on faceoffs tonight. I mean,
but that obviously faceoffs don't win you a game.
And maybe it really underlines that we're being unjustly unfair to Yo and his decision to start or to have a Stoll face off there, because Faceoff didn't win tonight, so would that have won us, last night?
Yeah. And really, I think what we need to do is not find ourselves hopefully in those overtime situations in general. I think that while the Wild they're having problems getting off out of the gate, starting games slow. I think was it against Tampa Bay that they were outshot like 10-2 or something?
They didn't get their first shot till almost 15 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and then, it wasn't until the third period where they finally lit up on shots.
Right. So yeah, and I mean, I must say that they're finishing games strong. So I mean, that's nice. You always feel like even tonight, you felt like they still had a chance to bring it back and have a good shot at tying the game up. But if we could get out of the gate, and
if we could get a full 60 minutes out of this team,
right? We've seen maybe one or two games.
We get 12 minutes of a game and then it's over.
That's essentially what it's felt like the past 2 days.
Right.
I mean, we've seen maybe one or two games this season where the Wild have basically dominated a full game.
Right. And just owned it, because often they get ahead, either struggling, they're coming from behind, and they get close. And then I got to give credit to them, because that is not something
they don't quit.
They don't quit.
Yeah.
But they also they have a tendency to turtle once they've gotten ahead and just kind of rest on their laurels, and those teams come back and start nipping at us.
Even some of the shutouts that we've gotten, it hasn't been full 60-minute games. It's been Dubnyk or Kemper saving.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And it's like, the team's not there. Luckily, the goalies were in at that point.
Right.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is, along this whole thing, I think that, like Dubnyk and Kemper, they've been standing on their heads. They've been making some great saves that
no doubt.
Have definitely kept the Wild in the game.
So one other thing with this past, was it yesterday's game, I think, was against Tampa Bay, the review that overturned Parise's goal. How are you guys feeling about some of these reviews? Is it getting way out of hand? Is it turning into the NFL right now, where every possible point is taking too long to come to decision on?
Something with a goal, I'm actually okay with them taking a minute to make sure that they get it right. Obviously, it's always questionable when there's, not enough evidence to change the call that was made.
Right, right.
But really, it's in the end, it's fair. I mean, it goes both ways. When it goes our way, obviously we're going to be happy about it. When it doesn't go our way, we're probably not going to be happy about it, but that's how it is. Reviews don't seem to me to be taking up too much of the time for the games. In my opinion, I would rather them take the time right then, get it right, and then move on.
Rather than
go down the road of later on saying, if the refs would have made this call,
I think my bigger issue though is that we're dissecting if it's a goaltender interference and that's why the call's being waved out, that should be a penalty. And if it's last night's one was an incidental contact, and that's no goal. And it's either incidental and a goal, or not incidental and no goal. I don't see how you can be incidental contact and still be not goal.
This is my whole argument with a penalty and embellishment too.
Right.
How can you have both?
Right. Well, I don't like dissecting penalties. I know that as fans we're hypersensitive to penalties being called or being missed, and I understand there's also, that's just part of the game. We don't want to slow down, yeah. You know, dissecting every penalty.
There's stuff that goes on all the time, even off, you know, from what you're viewing, screen shows you. There's stuff going on all the time that, you know, could be called, couldn't be called, and
No doubt. And I guess that really is my point, is that I don't want to see goals. Let's just slow down. The interference one just bothers me. And it's the fact that we're slowing it down to see whether or not the goaltender may have been touched.
Outside of the blue paint.
And if he's being contacted outside of the blue paint, I don't think the NHL rules are concrete enough.
Yeah.
They're not, in order to having the refs dissect these in slow motion. Because also, you know, I know we've talked about that, where you look at something in slow-mo, and, you know, what may look very intentional in slow motion is a very quick glancing blow at normal speed that may have just been, an accident, you know.
Well, that goes back to the knee-on-knee hit
of Cook and Barry.
That Cook got suspended for.
Yeah.
And it's like they're showing it frame by frame. Well, if you look at this frame, he obviously knew what he was doing. It's like that frame is, you're going 30 frames a second. So you're talking about a 30th of a second.
Right.
Nobody reacts that fast in a 30th of a second goes, you know what? I'm just going to turn and just take that guy out right on the knee.
Kenny, you must be slow.
Well, you know, not quite jive time slow, but yeah, I don't, so like some of that frame by frame where it, incidental or not, I mean, I don't think you can actually judge a character based on a frame by frame analysis.
Well,
that
and the whole judging intent seems it's like mind crimes. It's like,
well, it's a gray area. I mean,
oh yeah,
and how do you decide? Or do you just leave it?
You know what the slow-mo, you know, one frame at a second thing is great for?
Seeing if a puck crosses a line.
Exactly. That's what it's great for.
I agree.
Whether or not he touched him or intended to do this or that, it seems silly to me. Let the officials, even though I know we've got our beef with some on-ice officials, let them just officiate. And the NHL will deal with whether or not they're good officials at the end of the year and renew their contracts or not.
So you're saying throw the instant replay out the window.
Except for crossing the line.
I agree with that. Russo was with LaPanta, like on a pregame. They're up at LaPanta's house. I don't know if you saw this one. It was, I think, right before Christmas or something like that. And one thing Russo brought up, and I thought was a very, very good point, is that linesmen in particular, I mean, you know, we always thought, you know, looking at them going, holy crap. I mean, those guys are pretty much spot on a lot. Right. And now
we don't necessarily tweet this every time that we see it, because we watch just about every game. And me and Kenny are watching games, if we see a puck's coming close to the line and it's called offsides or not, we'll often rewind and we'll be shocked by how often those linesmen get it right. And it's bang, bang. It's fast.
But now, I mean, they can be a quarter of an inch off and have a goal disallowed because of a quarter of an inch of a puck going 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, would that fall when you're crossing the line?
I disagree with your statement, because if a puck is going 50 miles an hour, it's definitely going to keep going across that line.
Well, it's not going
to
stop.
It's obviously coming to a stop. But really, I agree. You know, you can look at it for going across the line.
Or high sticks, even. I'm okay with slowing it down so you can see whether or not, you know,
it was above the crossbar. Well,
now that's a penalty. No, high stick for a goal.
For a goal if it's above the crossbar, you know? Yeah.
Which, both of those have been reviewable.
For a while now.
For quite a while. Yeah. It's just the coaches couldn't challenge it previously. Right. And I mean, I'm definitely in agreement with you, Aaron, where that should be how it's reviewable, not whether, you know, somebody's sweater, you know, bushed out a little bit and brushed up a goalie's glove and he made contact.
I mean, really what it comes down to is, how is a goaltender interference on a goal call materially different than a missed high stick call. Like the other night when Porter got smashed in the face.
And with the blood all over?
He's bleeding all over the place.
That doesn't mean he got high stick.
Right. He might have bit his lip, you know?
Yeah, or maybe he had a blood capsule in his mouth.
Well, maybe. WWF style.
Yeah.
Wasn't it also
blades.
Wasn't it also Porter that got the Phantom High Stick penalty against Pittsburgh?
Porter the Barber Beefcake.
That was Porter, though. Or was that Carter?
Carter the Snake Carter?
Jake the Snake
Roberts.
Jake the Snake Carter?
Yeah.
But the high stick that he took the penalty for.
Yeah.
Carter, wasn't it?
I think so.
It was quite a few weeks back, but yeah, I don't know. Back to the whole penalty thing. Anyways.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about people getting hurt and injured here.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about some injuries? So this week, Parisi did miss the game against St. Louis, as we had kind of mentioned in our in our previous podcast. But he did make it back for the back-to-backs in Florida. But we do also know now that Kemper has been placed on IR with his concussion.
Kind of saw that coming, but...
Yeah, which is kind of unfortunate. So really what we have here, the Wild of... They've had to deal with, you know, a few injuries to this point. But, you know, I guess, you know, every team has to deal with injuries.
Right.
Especially
my fantasy hockey team.
Especially your fantasy hockey.
Right. Even,
yeah.
Especially mine when you don't even place them on a line, you know. What do you expect? So, but anyways, how do you guys feel at this point, you know, with the as far as the Wild's depth goes? You know, as we get on in the season here, things get along. I mean, there's more possibilities of injuries and also fatigue of the players. I mean, how do you guys feel about the depth that we have to cover for, you know, any injuries that might come?
Very skeptical right now.
Not
skeptical.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm thinking if we can stay healthy through the up to the All-Star break,
and let some guys recoup,
let some of those nagging things, you know, heal up, we'll probably be a little better shape. I do worry because some guys are, you know, I don't have any concrete information on any players' injuries or nagging things, but there's some guys out there that I'm like, is there something wrong with them because they're just not playing.
Like you know them to play.
Right, exactly. Right. And I'm hoping it's just nagging stuff that people need some rest on. And, you know, if they can last until that break, you know.
I don't feel confident with any of our guys down in Iowa right now.
This is true as well.
They're doing great. Oh, maybe not.
You know, and I think that's part of it. I think at least previously where, you know, whatever Iowa... or Houston, you know, at least when they were winning, you know, you had some guys that were playing with some confidence and trying to get up into the big game.
It felt like we would have...
At least three or four guys you could call up.
Right.
Throw them on third or fourth line and feel pretty confident, at least with the sustainable level of play.
But maybe that's a bigger thing is that... you know, the drop off from a hurt Brodziak to, you know, a John Scott type guy isn't as huge as, you know, going from Parisi to someone like Birchie or something like that.
You know, and I know Schrader got called up, I think, for the Tampa Bay game.
Right.
Yeah. Ended up getting scratched, but, you know, outside of him, and even his play hasn't looked all that hot this year when he's been up, I do not feel comfortable with any of the Iowa skaters right now coming up to at least have an impact on if they have to play.
So really what you guys are telling me then is that we're one major injury away from this season just being a
wash. I would have said that unequivocally before the St. Louis game.
Mm-hmm.
But then we don't have Parise, and we still win. So,
well, and the Wild have won without Parise.
They have.
But if you look at, you know, their numbers, they don't win consistently.
They look a lot. They don't look like the same team either. No.
I think when Parise went out, though, for that extended time, I think they won, like, the first three games or something.
And then they lost a bunch after that, so.
The magic wore off.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, and that said, you know, with Kemper on IR, I mean, Kemper, he is 4-0-4 this season with a 9.926 save percentage. And he's played in 9 games, actually.
Right.
Only 8 starts. But with a concussion, I mean, you guys know that the length of time that he's going to need to recover from that, it could vary. We see Ballard as, you know, he's hung up his skates because he said, you know.
Or even look at someone like Bouchard, you know, basically the concussion has derailed his career.
Yeah.
And he's playing in Europe now, I think, last I checked.
Yeah.
He's playing in Europe in a B-league somewhere.
Do they have less concussion protocols over there or something?
Bigger skating surface.
He's just wearing those giant Don Beebe helmets that pop off when he gets hit or something like that.
He's got the helmet like, what was Rick Moranis' character from Spaceballs? Is it Rick Moranis that had the...
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was a Darth Vader guy. It was the dude with the afro.
Oh, right.
That pulled off the helmet and his hair just popped out.
Oh,
is that OJ?
No, but you're thinking that Dark Helmet was his character?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But, yeah, anyway, so we, you know, who knows when Kemper will be back. And the Wild coming up here in January, we've got several more back-to-backs.
Yep.
You know, can the Wild withstand a one-pony show in the net? Or, you know, while we wait for Kemper's return? Do you guys think that we can withstand the storm here?
Well, I think Yo needs to put a kibosh on Dumba and Scandella taking slap shots at Dubnyk until Kemper gets healthy.
in the practices, yeah. You know, and I think the Wild are probably, whether they can or cannot, they're going to try.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, we saw that this weekend here. You know, Dubnyk started both games.
I think you need to put a yellow sweater on Dubnyk. No hit.
Yeah,
no contact.
Let Backstrom take those, you know. He can sit on the bench and, you know, shake off the dust, you know. But, I mean, I think whether or not the Wild can or will, wait for Kemper, they're gonna play Dubnyk. They're going to play him as, they're paying him like a number one, and they're going to play him like a number one. And if that's starting every game, that's starting every game.
I mean, unless he has just an absolutely atrocious game, I still think we'll see Backstrom. I mean, I was expecting it, you know, against one of the Florida teams this week, like I said last week, or like I said on Wednesday. But I still expect that we'll see Backstrom sometime before the month's end.
And I honestly think that we've got to see Backstrom because, I mean, he's been sitting on the shelf basically here for the first half of the season, collecting dust if you must. But we need Backstrom to come out, and we need him to show us what he can do. Because really, if we can't trust in that to back up our goaltending at this point right now, a move needs to be made. Now, what kind of move you can make with that? I don't know. You bundle him in with somebody else, maybe you can get another team to bite on that.
So essentially what we're all saying right now is our team consists of one goalie and 18 skaters, and we better hope nothing bad happens to anybody.
Yep, pretty much. Okay. As long as we're all on the same page.
I think we might all have a consensus on this one.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask Mike Yo, he's probably going to, candidly, he'd probably tell you the same thing.
Yo.
But that said, I mean, Backstrom did perform well in the preseason.
He did. Yeah. But, you know, if he was out there last night during the shootout, we would have gone to the shootout going, well, we're screwed. We would have had no hope, you know?
But would we have even made it to the shootout?
Well,
probably not. I don't.
Probably
think.
Not. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, right. Are we ready for Twitter talk?
Let's do that.
This episode of Twitter Talk is brought to you by
stateofhockeynews.com.
Derek Felska.
All right. So, our first question comes in from Tom Hohen at thohen88. And his question to us is, production isn't matching the salary. Do you see anything in the off season involving Pominville?
I don't think Pominville's the first guy we've seen that whose production has not matched salary. I think every team's going to have a player that's going to have that easily. As far as Pominville in particular goes in the off season, I don't know. I mean, look at how bad we were ragging on Vanek last year, and look at how he turned around.
Yeah, Vanek is definitely pulling his weight this season.
But Pominville doesn't have the pedigree that Vanek does.
Definitely.
Pominville was the second fiddle to Vanek in Buffalo, you know.
And that's the thing, is Pominville, I think, has been the beneficiary of playing on good lines, basically.
Right.
And that's what gains him his points. And yeah, with the salaries that he'll be commanding over the rest of the 4 years that we, you know, have him, I think that it would definitely make sense to move him, you know, hopefully not even after the season. My vote would be to move him mid-season here. Maybe
send him back to Buffalo?
Maybe we could
find... They've got cap space.
Maybe we could find a suitor for him, you know?
Suitor? We already got a suitor.
We already got a suitor. So, yeah.
I think it's going to be tough to trade him just because of how much he's
so
earning.
So do I.
You know, speaking of our Twitter Talk sponsor, Derek Felska, he did suggest that he'd be a buyout, potential buyout
person. We still have one left, don't we? Or how do you get one a year?
You can, I mean, depending on the contracts written, you can, you know, buy people out all the time, but you got to pay him for it, you know?
Sure.
And that's the... And you're going to take a cap hit regardless.
You take, what, 50% of what the buyout salary is for the cap hit?
What's Briz like doing these days anyways?
Hey, you know, that's a good question. Where in the world is Brizgalov? New board game.
Humanga's B.
Yeah, he's getting ready to... I'm
so glad we didn't get rid of that sample.
Man one of the ships to Mars or something like that.
He's
going to
be on Elon Musk's the rocket that they just... Yep. Got back that landed vertically.
Humangus big. The universe.
You'll be seeing stars soon.
Okay, so Pominville, I'm going to say we can't do anything with him. I'm going to agree with Felska. You're going to have to buy him out because we can't be paying him $5-6 million a year for the next 3 years or next three seasons. That just seems silly. That's what I'm going with.
Well, I guess, you know, I really can't disagree with that. Production year over year hasn't been that great.
In the last couple games, he's looked terrible.
Command that salary, right? So,
For that price, with where the cap limit is right now, you need a guy who's at least getting, you know, 2 points every three games,
right?
Minimal. I mean, that might even be on the low side, depending.
Well, and production
is what you're asking for.
And even if he's not getting points, he needs to do something. He needs to win board battles. He needs to win face-offs. He needs to
be a difference maker in the game.
Right. You know, and I pose this question.
Well, he's a difference maker for the other team. He keeps passing to him.
Oh. Well, and you know, I know we tweeted this earlier in the week, but, you know, you look at Parisi. He's known for being in these gritty, dirty spots.
Vanek is known for having just silky hands because he's, we've seen that.
Smooth operator.
Smooth operator. You know, Suter, he's a workhorse. We know that. What is Pominville? He's got nothing. He's milquetoast.
He's
that average guy in ice hockey. You know, not the big fat guy, not the little skinny guy. He's just that average guy.
Right,
I don't even know if I put him at that. He's the average guy where you tap A to shoot. You don't hold A in for the slap shot.
I imagine Pominville, if you were to list out his hobbies, it's going to be like stamp collecting, you know, flossing his teeth, you know, things like that. That's, he's just not an exciting player at all.
I've got some really cool stamps.
I've got one good one. It's of a mushroom.
Really? Picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue. I'm minus my samples tonight, by the way.
Picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
There you go.
Anyways, let's move on to our next Twitter talk question. Comes in from our favorite Twitterer, Derek Felska. And Felska at State of Hockey News. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Did I do it right?
Hockey.
Oh, it's hockey.
You got to get the phlegm.
State of Hockey. All right. So he is he's asking, what three New Year's resolutions would you suggest for the Minnesota Wild? And I guess maybe we can each just throw out one each. And my pick for the Wild's New Year's resolution is going to be more offensive production.
Well, that's very broad.
That's it. Okay.
That's broad?
Okay, then mine's
going
to be...
That means we put points on the board.
Okay. Mine's going to be less goals in the net.
You guys aren't leaving me much here.
Well, you could take face-offs.
I disagree with yours. I mean, I think that the Wild, at least as far as our goaltending, I think that we're doing very well. As far as our goaltenders are. So I don't like your resolution.
Well, that's kind of surprising considering you have Minnesota on the fantasy, on your fantasy team. I think you'd want more shutouts.
More shutouts? Okay. Fair enough.
Less goals in the net.
You've got a point there. Well, you know what?
Yeah, okay. But it's the NHL. Every game can't be a shutout.
Well, why not? Everybody can get a hat trick every game, too.
Really?
So here
just put your mind to it.
All I'm asking for is like, you know, a goal from each line out of the game, you know?
Okay.
And here's what I'm going
to... All right, that's... Sorry, Aaron, I don't mean to keep cutting you
off.
Oh,
am I getting more specific now?
No. That actually sounds very productive at that point. Like, you know, one goal from each line per game.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
That's never going to happen with Porter, Carter, and Stoll as their fourth line, though.
Oh, come on now.
That ain't going to happen. And that's why I'm going to say their resolution should be... Make a move and get someone else in here. As far as another player that needs some other offensive part to score some freaking goals, if that means you're going to have to move a defenseman,
who are you willing to give up?
You're going to have to give up someone. If you want to get value in return, you're going to have to give up value going out.
You're going to give up Dumba?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to try to move Brodin. That's who I'm going to choose.
All right.
Look at Dumba in the last couple games. I don't remember what tweeter said it, but he's been setting up in the Ovechkin spot, just waiting there on the backside on the power plays, just itching to score a goal. He's going to be scoring goals soon. It's only a matter of time.
Dumba? Mm-hmm.
Dumba.
Absolutely.
And Brodin isn't that guy.
Nope.
So that actually leads me into a more serious resolution then. How about just more shots on the power play? More shots on net in the power play.
Shoot. Honestly, I don't even know it's about shooting. It's about moving. We saw tonight in at least one of the power plays where we got guys just standing there.
Yeah.
You know, you got a guy looking to pass it, looking for lanes, and you have all your other teammates just standing there.
And that's
stationary.
And that's the thing, is when you're on your power play, that's the one advantage that you have, is if you keep moving, they don't have enough guys to cover all of your guys. So that means that somebody should be open, right?
Right.
And, I mean, they're able to, you know, maneuver it around
the perimeter.
The perimeters. Yeah. But, you know, a team is going to give you that all day long if you want to play patty cake around the outside. But to get it into the scoring areas, I mean, you're going to have to move your feet, make them move, well, which is going to open up lanes in general.
And heck, you know? There's times where it's not even a matter of, you know, playing patty cake. They're basically no one's moving. You've got a guy at the puck looking for something to go.
Standing there.
And he's got, because everyone else is standing still, he's got nothing because all those lanes are blocked out.
Everybody should be moving.
Everyone should be moving. Yes. And it's so damn frustrating. I don't even care about the shoot. I care about just freaking move.
It's looking like the power play of last year where they win, what, 0 for or minus 2 for yeah,
it totally is.
Whatever.
Yeah. Maybe that should be the resolution, is get rid of Burnett as our power play coach, because he's not doing it. I'm not convinced. We had a great start being in the year, but I'm not convinced at this point.
I agree. Next question from Mr. Felska. Does John Scott's inclusion as Pacific captain make you want to watch the All-Star game more or less? And should fan voting be stopped?
Does it make me want to watch more or less? No, because I don't really care.
I'm kind of looking forward to this All-Star game with the 3-on-3 tournament style.
Unless he fights someone, I don't care. John Scott's involvement doesn't make...
He's not going to fight anybody in the All-Star
exactly.
game. You needed to vote in two bruisers if you're going to have a fight in the All-Star game. You can't do just one.
Well, you could just go fight Kane. Punch the alleged rapist.
Well, Jagr might get into it with him.
Right. Well, but it goes back to John Scott's involvement does not make increase or decrease my interest. It my interest is the same whether or not he's there. Whether fan vote should be stopped or not, probably, because, you know, the NHL has now been embarrassed how many years in a row with these fan votes where they vote in some schlub. And John Scott, even though he's a former Wild player, he's a schlub. He's a goon. He's a face puncher. He doesn't belong in the All-Star game.
He just got put on waivers.
He's been put on waivers a couple times, I think, this year. So it's like he's not an All-Star, and for him to be there is kind of a joke.
And I guess myself personally, and this doesn't just go with, you know, the NHL and hockey. I think in general, you know, the NFL, they've got the Pro Bowl. Major League Baseball's got the All-Star game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, just give the guys a week or two off in the middle of the season. Let everybody heal up and go play. I mean, football is pushed off till the end of the year anyway, so they're gonna play it after everybody's already forgotten about football and everything's done.
Except for the few years they tried doing it the week before the Super Bowl.
Right.
Right. Well, okay, here's what I'm going to say. Fan voting is stupid. I don't trust the press to make a decision that isn't tainted by their own motives. I'd actually rather see the players vote for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, make it a popularity contest amongst them players. That way we're not going to see guys that are idiots anyway. You know, we'll know who the players don't like because they won't be going to the All-Star game. And that'll just feed the rumor mill as well. So the media will still be happy because they can go like, ooh, the players didn't want so-and-so in this game, you know. But they didn't want Marchand in the All-Star game or whatever.
Skittles, right.
You know.
But what I don't know. I think that the fan vote is good. I mean, what you are doing when you allow the fans to vote is you're allowing them to voice their opinion. Now,
they're basically saying your All-Star game is stupid. Here's John Scott. Eat it, Bettman.
There you go.
I kind of like that.
But it gives the fans a voice. They're able to put into, you know, their votes what they feel. And if they feel that it's all stupid anyways, well, there you go.
What?
And And basically, what it comes down to is the reason that all those guys are there and playing in this league is because of the fans. So I think that taking the vote away from the fans is not the angle to take.
What so what skills competition do you want to see them in?
The face punching?
Do you think they're going to have one of like the punching bag machines there? Like, you know, the
blades of steel. And that's not what I'm... But that's not...
Sorry, that was like a total like non-serious question.
And that's... Right. So maybe voting in John Scott was a joke. Fine. But what I've got to say, though, is that the fans being able to vote gives them a voice. And I think listening to your fans vote or their voice is what, you know, what matters in the end. Without your fans, there is no league.
Right.
I mean, well, they can still go and play, okay, but they're not going to make the millions that they make.
I think we beat this one enough.
Just like John Scott.
Just like John Scott.
And our last question comes from a friend of the show, Tony Dean, and that's at Tony Dean HB. If and when this Minnesota Wild team fails to advance past round one or two of the playoffs, then what are we going to do?
I see, you know, as much as I was kind of against it and didn't see it previously, I see Yo gone.
Yo is an easy scapegoat. Whether or not he deserves it, that doesn't, it's really a moot point. I personally think it's, for Yo, it's Stanley Cup win probably or bust. Maybe
make the Cup finals.
It's finals. It's definitely finals or bust for Yo. That's my opinion at least.
I think something needs to happen with our scouting personally. I don't know what it is, but it's like we don't have the talent to back. Well, like we're saying, to back up our current guys. You know, if we don't make it to the Cup in the next couple of years, what do we have going on right now? You know, for up-and-comers,
right.
Nothing.
What we're looking at is several years of us being at the bottom of the barrel.
Shit, it won't be turning to Buffalo.
It won't be bottom of the barrel. It'll be middle of the pack, which is worse. Because that means we're not getting draft picks and not getting bolstered. We're gonna be treading water.
We're going to be right back to where we were 5 years ago.
Right. We're good-ish.
And nobody's going to want to come here because we're just that mediocre team.
Right. And we won't have money to do it anyway, pick anyone up anyway, because we're already paying millions of dollars to...
So who's wasting all our money?
Mr. Fletcher, I believe.
Oh, so maybe he might be the scapegoat.
I GMs are usually the last ones to go, and as long as, our owner there...
Leopold.
As long as he's in a good favor with Fletcher, Fletcher ain't going anywhere.
No,
Yo will be the first to go, but this will be the second head coach under Fletcher that is gone.
First one didn't last very long.
Yeah, no. Richards didn't last very long at all. Only what, two seasons, something like that.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, you have to wonder whether or not it's the GM's moves that are causing your downfall or if it's your coaches. I think Fletcher's got more than two coaches in him, as far as longevity goes, because he has made some good moves. He did get Parise here, did get Suter here, but I haven't been a terribly big fan with some of the longer contracts he's given to some of the kids where I go, they haven't really proven themselves.
Well, and I don't think he's afraid to cut bait either. I mean, because he, you know, Fletcher obviously wasn't doing, or sorry, not Fletcher, coach before Yo, Richards, came in with Fletcher.
Yep.
And, you know, he wasn't putting up, and Fletcher had no issues just going, all right, you're done.
And I think Richards had also lost control of his locker room, and I don't think Yo has. I think Yo still's got control of the locker room.
Got the respect of him.
Yeah.
Just loses control on the ice, or stage losing control on the ice.
Right. So they're going to need to do something there. I mean, And I think if the Wild is out and I'm going back, it's finals or bust for Yo. Possibly win it all or bust. That's what I'm going to say.
And I guess for myself, if and when the Minnesota Wild fail to advance past round one.
Such negativity around here, right?
Right.
I guess it's going to depend on what round we play the Blackhawks in.
Well, and I don't think the Blackhawks are even that much of a problem for us this year. I think that we'll still be able to skate well with them. But really what I think is that if the Wild don't advance past one of those two rounds, there's definitely got to be a shakeup of the management. So I would agree with maybe Yo and his coaching staff maybe being relieved of duties.
Right.
Is this gonna be
the shock of that, though, is, you know, could be, you know, put the team into, you know, even further, you know, rebuilding mode when you've got a Parisi and a Suter, you know, already on the books, a Vanek. I mean, you've got some very, very solid pieces.
But then again, it goes to them and goes, the reason Yo doesn't have a job is because of your performance, is really what it comes down to. And if Parisi's going to get mad about that, you know, or any one of those guys, yeah, you know, they can go F themselves.
Well, you know,
what I wanted to say, though, is that maybe we'll have to work on restructuring some things or moving some parts, Palmerville, and making the room so we can bring in just a couple more pieces for that actual depth that we need. If you guys remember going back to looking at the playoffs against the Blackhawks in those series, I know that we commonly talked about how it was like every single line was contributing.
Yep, no doubt.
And we don't have that right
now.
No,
we don't.
You know, so I think that, you know, I don't know that Yo has earned the axe, and I don't know that there's much else out there that would be better to replace Yo with that they would make that move.
Don't disagree with that.
Well, my final note on this is it's a team of 18,000. I think all the fans need to be fired, and they have to re-release all the season tickets to give the rest of us schmoes an opportunity to get some decent season tickets.
Here you
for,
go.
For how many dollars?
Wow. To be determined.
All right.
We all get a buyout.
Three in the box. Don't we have like a box seat up there?
Yeah. How come we don't have our own suite yet?
Where is our suite?
All right. Let's talk about some upcoming
games. Fletcher, give us a call.
All right.
So, four games on the docket this week. Wild at the Blue Jackets, the worst team in the NHL. Flyers at the Wild that are just barely above the Blue Jackets. Wild against the Wild at the Stars, are they still the number one team in the league? I believe they are.
At least in the West.
And then
best in the West.
The we got the Devils here, which I think Devils are kind of riding middle of the pack. So with that, I'm actually going to, instead of going for a tough game or what should be a tough game, I'm going to go with the Wild at the Blue Jackets.
As our game of the week?
As our game of the week. Just
how do you know that's not going to be a tough call? It's an easy team to just sit back against and say, oh, we got this one.
That's why I picked that game, because we could have some varying opinions on what's going to happen on this one.
Okay.
So, Jive, what are you going with on this game?
So, I think what you're suggesting is that somebody's going to go ahead and Minnesota this and find a way to lose the game. But personally, I don't feel that that's going to happen. It'll probably be a lot closer game than what we would expect to be, because we're Minnesota nice and we don't want to beat anybody too bad. So, we might get up a goal. We might get up a goal or two, and then we'll just sit back at our laurels and let them hang around like they're, you know, in the game actually. But I think in the end, the Wild will win this one 3-1. Probably an empty netter at the end, but I think it's going to be closer than we'd like it to be.
Aaron?
You know what? I'm going to go against the grain here. The Wild have not done well on the road.
Oh!
And this trip there, they seem to be struggling to put things together. Yo's going to continue to juggle lines. And I'm going to say the Blue Jackets win 3-2.
So you're not predicting like a Yo breakout session where he yells at them in a practice like where it's in a, you know, out of state?
Nope. He only does that at home.
Okay.
And Tortorella will be getting the blow up.
Oh. But,
and he might even try to fight Yo, but then he'll end up fighting Johansson, I think.
Maybe Tortorella's going to mentor Yo and give him a great spiel to just go out and... Oh, wait. That wouldn't be good for him, though, would it?
No.
Okay.
So, I'm gonna agree with Jive with Wild winning on this one. But, you know, Columbus has the most goals against in the NHL right now. So, yeah. I see the Wild actually kind of racking up some goals against them. They are kind of middle of the pack though with goals for. So I can see them actually getting a few against us too. So I think I'm gonna go with Wild winning 5-3 on this one. I think it's gonna be fairly high scoring. I'm hoping that the Columbus is to the Wild what the Wild are to a few other teams that are on not very good streaks where we tend to turn their season around. I'm hoping we get some.
Not to mention any names.
No, no.
Okay.
I'm hoping we can get a nice, you know, just you know. Little a little return favor.
Okay, so this is gonna turn the Wild season around.
It would have been about
beating the Blue Jackets.
It would have been close to this time last year where we saw that change happen.
Blue Jackets are almost a 500 team at home, so keep that in mind.
But they were almost a 500 team on the road too. Actually, yeah. I think the road they had a little bit more losses, didn't they?
Yeah, they're way worse on the road. That's why they're last in the league.
Hey, what goes on the road stays on the road.
Except for herpes.
And they're almost a 500. They're almost
that shit stays with you wherever you go. Right.
They're almost a 500 team against the West as well. So I don't want to jinx the Wild, but I'm hoping that my luck of picking the Blues last week, our last episode, will carry over to this one where I pick wrong.
Aaron's singing the blues.
Yes.
The Blues and the Blue Jackets.
Yes. Just like there should be a Stars and North Stars.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, I think, are we done with the show here?
I think so. We've about beat this horse to the ground.
Beat it like a John Scott?
Oh, wait, that was a dead horse. Beat a dead horse.
John Scott beat dead horses?
How does that saying go?
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
Oh, like that.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Well, you know, when I am not live tweeting Wild Games or 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny with links to my Twitter and Instagram. And if you go to my Instagram, you can see all the porn spam followers that I've been getting lately.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think, Aaron, we traded some nice picks the other day. Jive.
Well, you can also find me. I'm on about.me/HeyJive. Have a good night, folks.
Bye-bye.
And the three of you guys, you pull one thing, you're out of this game.